In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In today's Gospel, our Lord tells us a parable that explains how God will judge the human race. And all of Christ's parables are stories that are very relatable, and in a everyday, common, worldly image, they depict for us spiritual and deep realities. So the Lord says that the kingdom of heaven is like a king who settles accounts with his servants. So this is a reckoning where the king calls before him all of his servants who owe him money, and he's trying to balance out his accounts. And when we talk about the king, of course, the king is God. But what is this reckoning that he does? What is the debt that needs to be settled? God, of course, doesn't need any of our material wealth. He wouldn't demand that from us because he created it in the first place. Having no need of it, he created it for us. So what is this debt that we owe to God that needs to be settled up? It is a debt of love, a debt of love. See, love defines God's nature. It's really the thing that matters most to him. And he has therefore made it the currency of creation. He has given us love in so many ways, by creating us, by providing for us, by giving us so many blessings, by tolerating our sins even, and our rebellions, and all of this love that God gives us, then we are responsible to repay by love towards him, to recompense his love by returning the favor. So this debt which the servant is called upon to settle represents our debt of love towards God. The servant owes a vast sum of money, 10,000 talents, which I did a little research and found that that is 650 tons of gold, $37 billion at today's prices. So this servant owes an unpayable amount. That figure of 10,000 talents is an unpayable amount for a private individual. Maybe the king could easily pay that, but no one else can. This servant has accumulated a massive unpayable debt. He's brought before the king, and the king, finding out that he can't pay this debt, orders that he be sold with his family and all that he has. Now this might sound harsh, but think of it in practical terms. The man does not have the wherewithal to pay his debt. The only way that he can pay his debt is through being sold, through redeeming his life and his family's life for money. The selling of the servant is the natural consequence of his being unable to pay his massive debt. And the fathers explained to us that this represents the natural consequence of our deep debt of sin, our deep debt of love that we owe to God and have failed to repay. That as a result of failing to pay our debt of love to God, we are sold in bondage to sin, becoming slaves to sin. So the servant pleads with the master and says, "Please just be patient with me and I will pay back everything that I owe." And the king is not hard-hearted. Because of this simple plea, the king not only gives him more time, but goes beyond the request and forgives the debt, says, okay, look, you don't have to pay it back. I mean, wow, how generous, like 650 tons of gold that you took from me, and I'm not going to require it back from you. Simply because he asked, the king forgave the debt. And that's how God is with us. God is that merciful, even though we owe him our everything and have failed time and again to give him anything, he forgives us over and over again. But what follows next is almost inexplicable. The servant, having been forgiven this massive debt, leaves the king's presence and comes across a fellow servant who owes him some money, owes him 100 denarii, which is about $5,000 or $6,000 in today's money. So it's not a trifling amount, it's not just like a few dollars, but it's also nothing compared to the debt that the other servant was just forgiven. So this debt represents the debt of love that we owe to each other. Because God has placed us together as one community of mankind on earth and given us responsibility not only to love him, but to love one another. And when we fail to show that love to others, then we incur a debt towards them. Also towards God at the same time. But the debt that we owe towards one another is not trifling, but it's insignificant compared to the debt that we owe to God, right? So this servant comes and demands payment. And notice that the one who owes him uses the same plea that he used with the king. And yet his pleas go unheard. The servant who had been forgiven doesn't just demand payment, but throws him into prison until he should pay, which is a strange thing that people used to do, to put you in prison when you owed. How are you supposed to pay it back? If you're in prison, how are you supposed to get the money to pay it back? I don't know. But he threw him in prison until he should pay it all. And the king, having heard of what happened, calls the first servant before him and chastises him for his hardness of heart, having been forgiven so much that he would not forgive even a small amount. And therefore, he reinstates the debt and he goes further than what he did before. You might think it's terrible for him to be sold into bondage with his family. But now the king orders that he be delivered over, it says in our translation, to the jailers. I'll tell you that that is actually a very softened translation. The literal Greek says to the tormentors, the torturers. That he be tortured until he pay back the debt. And so that represents the fact that if we do not, as Christ has taught in other places, if we do not forgive others from the heart, God will not forgive us, and so we will suffer eternally, right? How is the man going to pay back the $650 billion or 650 tons of gold while he's being tortured? He's never going to pay that back. So he'll be tortured eternally. And likewise, if we refuse to forgive others, we will not be forgiven by God, and instead will be tormented eternally as a result of our, not only of our sin, but of our hardness of heart. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, as I said before, the forgiven servant's hardness of heart is almost inexplicable, except when we start to think about our own lives. How easy it is to accept God's forgiveness and then to cling to what other people owe us and refuse to give us. Whether it be respect, whether it be help, whether it be kindness or friendship or familial love. I mean, all sorts of people don't live up to our expectations for them. Sometimes our expectations are unfair, but sometimes our expectations are fair, that they owe us a debt of love, and yet they do not give it. And it's so hard for us to let go of what other people owe us. But when we refuse to forgive them, that actually becomes an obstacle to receiving God's forgiveness, an obstacle to experiencing God's love. When we bear a grudge, when we hold on to those things, they consume our attention. They keep us focused on this negative lack that is gnawing at our hearts. But when we can let it go, then we can turn our gaze, the gaze of our hearts, to God, to be thankful for His love that He continually showers upon us, and to reach out to Him and to grow in relationship with Him, which in itself is a blessing. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us take our Lord's teaching to heart. Let us, instead of focusing on the little bit that others owe us, to do the hard work of forgiving out of mercy and pity from the depths of our heart, so that we may be forgiven by God and may know the blessings of fellowship with Him. To whom be glory, honor, and worship, to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.